It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Well, the weekend is past. Some Qurans were burned, but not by Pastor Terry Jones. There's ongoing Muslim protests in different parts of the world. Report that a lawyer, an atheist lawyer in Australia, rolled up pages of the Bible and pages of the Quran to smoke them as a mockery and to say, don't take this stuff so seriously. But actually, I do want to talk to you seriously about what happens when there is a conflict between a prophetic stand or a stand for righteousness or rebuking error and evangelism. Michael Brown, glad to be with you today on The Line of Fire. Coming away actually live from Washington, D.C., and I'm going to be giving something away in a moment, and you're going to want to call in and get a free copy, I can assure you. But make sure you have the number first, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or through the website, askdrbrown.org, click on Contact Us. Okay, let me tell you my question again and make it plain so you understand what I'm asking, and then I'll tell you what we're giving away today. We finally got this ready to go, and we wanted to bless a few of you faithful listeners with this gift. Or maybe you happen to tune in today for the first time, and it's just your day. All right, here's the question. You want to stand up for righteousness. Say, for example, you continue to be deeply grieved over the slaughter of the unborn. You're going to stand up against abortion. But what if you're in front of an abortion clinic, you're seeking to share the gospel with people, you're seeking to get people to think, hey, that's a human life in there, to a mom, to a dad, you really want to kill your own offspring. You're trying to appeal to them, call them to do what's right, sure, full of mercy, sure, wanting to offer them solutions with adoption or other things like that, but you are clearly saying what you're doing is wrong. This is a wrong action. This is sinful. This is destructive. It's hurtful to you, not to mention the life that you're snuffing out. What if maybe your church is concerned if we do that, people are going to think we're hateful, or if we do that, people may not listen to our gospel message. I'm just talking about a perception, all right? I'm not saying it's true or not. If I stand up for what's right, if I call people to repent, then that'll hurt my ability to reach out to those that are hurting and struggling, and hey, you don't know why this woman's having an abortion or why this couple's decided to have an abortion, and that's not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is them getting saved, and they won't listen to our gospel message if we're hitting them over the head against abortion. This is a mindset, a debate, or come at it from a different angle. You are taking a stand against homosexual activism, something that I'm engaged in standing against gay activism, seeking to reach out to the people with compassion, with love, with care, but standing against activism. Well, no. The moment you say same-sex marriage is wrong or homosexual behavior is wrong because gays and lesbians have been so hurt and so ostracized and many of them persecuted and discriminated against growing up, and some of them even the subject of violent acts, the moment that you stand up for these issues, you're now politicizing things, and it's going to hurt your ability to reach people with the message of Jesus. Or in this recent situation, I didn't agree with Pastor Jones' plans to burn the Quran, but just based on the little that I knew, the sound bites I heard, he didn't sound like some raving lunatic, but to him, he was going to draw attention to Islamic extremism, draw attention to violent Islam, and make a statement on 9/11, and he was dissuaded from doing it. Turns out a friend of mine was one of the voices urging him not to do it. But what's one of the issues? Okay, you could endanger Americans, say, in the military, other parts of the world, and that blood would be on your hands. That was one concern. Another concern, I don't know how much this influenced him, was this will hurt our ability to witness to the Muslim community. It'll make us look hate-filled. It'll make us just look disrespectful towards Islam, whereas in fact we believe that Islam is not the way to God, and in fact Muhammad did not receive genuine revelation from the angel of God, and therefore it is a demonic deception. But there are better ways to reach out to Muslims. So what do we do when there is a conflict between the prophetic? And by the way, I'm using varied examples that are not totally consistent. In other words, I absolutely believe that we should be active in every way in the whole abortion situation, including ministering outside of abortion clinics. And I believe that we should be standing against the goals of gay activism. I don't believe we should be burning Qurans, all right? So I'm using different examples that are not all consistent or analogous, but the overall point is clear. Some people have a burden for righteousness, and they want to stand up for what's right, and they want to rebuke error, and they want to expose error, and they feel it is our role as believers in society to be salt, to be light, to bring moral and cultural change through the gospel. And others say, no, we're mixing apples with oranges. It's not our calling. It's just one pastor was sharing with me today that someone else on his church staff told them that you already have your assignment, which is the Great Commission. And if you take on another assignment, that's like having a mistress along with your wife. What do we do when one person is just concerned with, I need to reach out to this person, build a relationship with them, and through loving, caring, involvement in their lives, bring them to know Jesus. And then as a believer, I can disciple them into the things that are important in terms of righteous, holy living. And someone that's standing in front of an abortion clinic, I don't mean yelling, screaming, you're all child killers, you're all going to burn in hell. I'm talking about presenting the gospel and urging people to do what's right, maybe with a picture of an aborted baby, as some of our friends would do standing in front of an abortion clinic. No, you're just turning that person off to the gospel. They're never going to listen to you. Then the more righteousness-oriented, prophetically-oriented person says to the other, no, you're just compromising. You're just compromising. You just don't have any backbone. You just don't want to call sin, sin. You just want everybody to like you. How do we bridge these two mentalities? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, for everyone who calls in and attempts to answer this question, so this is a thinking question today. We want to send you the DVD of my debate with Professor Bart Ehrman that took place earlier this year at Ohio State University on the subject, does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering? It is a power-packed debate. It is full of content. It's great for believers to listen to because this is a subject everyone has to deal with, the problem of suffering. It's great to show to non-believers because it's a wonderful evangelistic tool to help open their hearts and minds to the gospel. But I want to get your take on how we bridge this gap. This is free, postage paid. It's our gift to you, the DVD of my debate with Professor Bart Ehrman on the Bible and human suffering. We're just releasing it now, so you'll be among the first people out there to get it. If you can think this through, is it that, okay, one group, what they do is they evangelize, and that's their calling, and they're there in the homes, ministering to the people in their need, sharing the gospel, befriending people. What do you think about same-sex marriage? You know, that's really not an issue I want to get into. What do you think about abortion? You know, that's really not an issue I want to get into. What about your own soul? You're away from God. You're not right with God. You need salvation. What do you think about don't ask, don't tell in the military? You know, that's not a subject I get into because it's peripheral to our discussion. What about your own relationship with God? What about your own sins? What about your need for forgiveness? Maybe one group does one thing, and the other group is dealing with these social issues, these moral issues, being salt, being light, being a voice of righteousness, seeking to influence culture in the right direction. Could it be that simple, that one group does one thing or the other does the other? Is it a matter of how we do it? That by all means we stand up for righteousness issues in society, but we do it with grace, We do it in the love of God as well as speaking the truth of God. We do it in a way that no one can call mean-spirited or angry or hateful. Could that be it? Or is it a matter of, no, you preach the whole thing, and if one side doesn't do it, they are compromising? 866-34-TRUTH. What about when we stand with Israel? When Christians stand with Israel, does that hurt our witness to the Muslim world? What then should we do? Call in and attempt to answer this question just with your own view, and we'll send you a free copy of my debate on DVD with Professor Bart Ehrman. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming away from the Washington, D.C. area. God willing, tonight after the show, fly to Phoenix, Arizona, and join this time my colleague in debate, as opposed to my opponent in debate, Dr. James White, as we debate with Sir Anthony Buzzard and Joseph Good about God's triunity and the deity of Jesus. And I hope to give you a report on that on Thursday. And on Wednesday, plan on some special teaching about this issue of the pre-existence of the Son of God. So got some programming I think you'll be interested in hearing this week and tomorrow. Coming your way live from Phoenix before the debate. All right, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you just tuned in, we are giving away free copies of the DVD debate that I did with Professor Bart Ehrman on the subject of the Bible and the problem of suffering. You'll find it to be eye-opening. You can order it online, by the way. In fact, you can get multiple copies at a very nice discount. It's a great tool, something to watch and give out. But in order to get it, you have to answer a question. We're making you work a little bit today. We're sending it out, our gift, free. But here's the question. Many Christians are burdened about righteousness issues, be it about abortion, or be it, say, sex trafficking industry, or be it about homosexual activism, or be it about out-of-control gambling issues or no-fault divorce or whatever of the many different issues there are. But then other Christians feel, if we talk about that a lot and make an issue of that, we turn people off when it comes to evangelism. You have no idea how many pastors will not address the issue of same-sex, quote, marriage because they don't want to offend gays and lesbians. And what I've told them is, listen, unless you completely affirm that you can be a practicing homosexual and a Christian at the same time, you're going to offend gays and lesbians. But I understand, do we want to get into these political issues or these righteousness issues? If we do, don't we turn the people off? So how do we bridge this gap between standing for righteousness and reaching the lost? Well, here, let's come at it from a different angle. Well, we shouldn't attack the sex trade issue. We shouldn't make a big deal about that because we want to reach the people who are sex traders. We want to reach those people. And if we speak out against human trafficking, then we're going to turn those people off. Nobody in their right mind would think like that. But someone would say, well, that's the difference. See, same-sex marriage, homosexuals, it's a blurry line. Abortion, it's a blurry line. Others would say, what kind of blurry line? It's black and white clear. So how do we either bridge the gap or get God's mind? Or do we just speak what we speak and let the chips fall where they may? Come on, be like gospel preachers of old who called sin, sin, and took on the social evils of their society, whatever they were, and that's what we need. We need a little backbone. Or others say, no, that's why people are running from the churches and leaving the churches, because all we do is politicize things. We don't preach the gospel anymore. So what's the solution? What's the answer? Call in and get a free copy of the debate with Dr. Bart Ehrman. Okay. We'll start with our friend Debbie in Franklin, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling, Debbie.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
You know, I believe that, you know, we all have different gifts from the Lord and different ways to evangelize. But for me personally, like the Lord said in the book of Luke about John the Baptist, he said that John the Baptist was the greatest man to have ever lived. And he had an attitude of say it as it is. You know, he said to the king, you're a sinner, basically. You're having an affair. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're doing things wrong. and you need to repent. You need to turn to the Lord. And the thing is, what we speak to people, only God can make them understand it. And like, we plant the seeds, and it's up to God to, like, let them see it the way it is. And
we shouldn't worry that much then about if I'm going to offend this person or if I'm going to just speak the truth.
Exactly.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Yep.
And God's the one that has to plant the seeds. That's one very valid approach. And using the example of John the Baptist, certainly he knew about preaching the gospel. He's the forerunner of Jesus the Messiah himself. Yep. Hey, Debbie, thanks for weighing in. We'll send you a copy of the DVD. Let us know how you like it once you watch, okay?
Can I just say something? Because Jesus never condemned John.
No. That's an understatement because of the way he commended him.
Right.
Absolutely. And that was not... That was not just a matter of critiquing the religious community, like Jesus often did.
Yeah.
He was rebuking a leader, a national leader. Absolutely right. Hey, did our folks already get your address?
Yes, they did.
Okay, well, God bless you.
I love talking about this stuff, and you keep going with these shows of yours.
Well, we're going. All right.
All right, God bless you, too.
Thanks. Hey, look, I read an editorial last week and said, I won't tell you which country this is coming out in the Sunday newspaper, but it is coming out in the Sunday newspaper. And I wrote it for a national newspaper in the country of Barbados. And the article was called, it's the first of several articles I'm going to write, it was called Equality, Tolerance, and Gay Civil Rights. Look before you leap. I know in writing it that people are going to get mad at me and they'll be homosexual men and women that won't want to listen to me because I wrote this, but I'm not going to reach them from a distance anyway. If I get to sit with these people and talk and interact, I can be, they'll see who I am and hear who I am and feel who I am in terms of my heart and my attitude. And by the grace of God, they'll be touched with the gospel. Now, you may have a totally different take on it, which is fine, which is why we're asking the question. Okay, Don in Holly Springs, North Carolina. Thanks for calling.
Actually, it's John, but that's okay.
All right. Well, John, we'll make sure that Joey has it right when he sends out your free DVD, as long as it gets to the right house.
It's not a problem.
All right.
You know, Lord knows I am nowhere near even perfect and have a lot of faults, but...
You're not perfect yet, man. How can you even dare call this show if you're not perfect yet?
Well, you know, I must have misdialed or something, you know, but... I wholeheartedly believe that, you know, most of our problem is because we're tiptoeing around and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's to me, it's just crazy. I mean, look at our school systems. You took the prayer out and now, you know, you can't do anything. You can't pray. And I'm proud to pray in Jesus' name. And I don't care where it is, but I think it's because we've just been so lax and are so afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. Jesus didn't hurt people's feelings or didn't worry about it. He just told them right up. This is how it is. And, you know, yes, he did it in a loving way, and I think you do the same thing.
But all right, so your take would be then, John, I had to remind myself it's John, not Don, that it is our ear-tickling gospel or our hypersensitive gospel. It's really hardly a gospel that's creating a major problem. And that as long as we do things in the right spirit, that addressing sin, calling something wrong, is part of what we're called to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it even said in the last days that people are going to want to have their ears tickled so they're not offended. But, you know, I just wish that people would put it out there in the right way,
Got
in
it.
The right manner, and just tell them.
Got
you know,
it. All right. Hey, we're up against a break, but thanks for weighing in loud and clear, sir, and we'll be glad to send you the DVD. God bless you. All right. A whole lot more to come. Stay with us. We got one line open if you want to join in now. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us, Michael Brown, coming away from Washington, D.C. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. I've been asking the question of when we have a conflict between rebuking sin, standing up for an issue in our society, and reaching out with the gospel. This often comes up with abortion-related issues. You know, if we're in front of an abortion clinic saying this is wrong and appealing to women not to kill their babies, is that going to hurt us from our ability to evangelize them or evangelize that community? If we say that we are against so-called same-sex marriage, is that going to hurt our ability to witness to the homosexual community? But these issues came up with the whole question about burning of the Quran. You know, what if this pastor said that he was going to burn some witch's material or a satanic Bible? I'm glad the pastor didn't burn the Quran. I felt it was an unwise act and would have more negative repercussions than positive, although I made plain I wasn't bashing the guy, nor could I say what God did or didn't tell him to do, or whether he heard God at all in the whole affair. But what if someone's going to burn the satanic Bible, but in burning the satanic Bible, it would hurt our ability to reach out to Satanists. So anyone that calls in today, I'm sending them a free copy of my DVD debate with Professor Bart Ehrman that took place earlier this year at Ohio State University on the Bible and the problem of suffering. I think you'll find it to be a really useful, eye-opening tool. All right, so what's your take? Raymond in Greensboro, thanks for calling today.
Hello, Brother Brown. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, sir. How about you?
Just fine. In regard to your question, I'm reminded that the Bible says, God says that the word does not return back to him void. And I think that if Christians took their eyes off of themselves and realized that, you know, what they're doing is just planting seeds, the word of God is going to find its mark in those who have the potential of being reached are going to be reached. In regards to our stance against homosexuality, I'd like to share the fact that I have recently started dialogue with some pastors from the GLBT community, and we have actually come together, and we're having open public forum here in Greensboro dealing with that subject. And what I'm finding out is, you know, before I approached them, I think the enemy had me thinking that it was no use to even approach them and that, you know, we're on separate, on the opposite ends of the spectrum, so to speak. But as I talked with them and they talked with me, we both found out that it was worth us getting together and talking about it.
Uh-huh.
So my point of reference is I tell people, I believe whenever the truth is spoken, it'll stand on its own two feet. And I think that if we just, again, take our eyes off of ourselves, And realize that God is going to find his purpose, we won't be as afraid to speak our conviction.
Got it. All right. Hey, I'm glad to hear that you're having these meetings and that you're basing them on your end on speaking the truth. Let us know. Drop us a line at my website and let me know how the meetings are going or any way we could be of support in that. All right. But thank you for weighing in, and we will send the DVD out to you. God bless you, man.
Thank you.
Thanks. 866-34-TRUTH. Look, I'm not looking for people to agree with my position or different, because I haven't given my position yet, although if you listen to the broadcast, you know roughly where I'm coming from. But you can differ with the previous callers. You can agree. I just want to hear your thinking. Do we say, hey, look, you're called mainly to evangelism and acts of mercy. I'm called more to prophetic confrontation. You do your thing. I do mine. Or is it all part of the same package? Or is the big thing the accuracy of our message, and it was this line up with Scripture, and the spirit in which we do it? 866-34-TRUTH. Steve in Kaysville, Utah, thanks for calling, sir.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I called in because on Sunday morning I had a situation where a non-believer, ex-Mormon, we got on the phone and began to talk as I was walking into service, and he began to ask me these questions, and he didn't want to hear the answers, of course, but he kept on talking about, you know, moral right and wrong. And so I, you know, went to that common thing of, well, you know, based on what? You know, he's mentioned rape and some other things, and, you know, people, you know, things people do to other people. And I said, based on what? There are people that think that what that is good. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just to get him to examine his own position, and people that were passing me were looking at me kind of crazy because service was going on, but the Lord compelled me to continue that conversation briefly.
So your view is, in a nutshell, that we just speak the truth, and that's part of our gospel witness?
Well, no. Let me just add one thing, and that is that there was only one John the Baptist. There wasn't many John the Baptists. There was only one. Okay? And those that came after, you know, of course, we attempt to duplicate the life that Jesus Christ and others have, you know, gone before us. But that they were compelled by the Holy Spirit to do what they did. John the Baptist was compelled by the Holy Spirit to do what they did. And even speaking in regards to the pastor down there, the greatest thing that he said when he was questioned about that, well, I will continue to seek the Lord and see what God has for me to do.
Got it. Okay. You know, hey, Steve, I appreciate you weighing in on that. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me, since we're giving something away, I will hold off on my comments for a bit and get some more of yours. Jacob in Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. How are you doing?
Good. How about you?
Oh, you know, working, keeping it real.
Uh-huh.
But this is life. Well, yes, we must be bold with what God's word holds. It's God's word. But it also must be done in love. We must speak out above all that the righteousness God will grant to those who put their trust in him. We have enough clanging cymbals in the body today.
Mm.
So many people, even amongst those who call into this show, and I have no doubt they're saying for God, speak out against sin so casually with no broken hearts of the reality of judgment. It's ironic.
Let me just jump in here, Jacob. On the one hand, people don't want to be guilty by association. So some people draw back from speaking the truth plainly because mm-hmm. the ones that are famous for speaking out are clanging cymbals or appear to be,
mm-hmm.
or say like a Fred Phelps who glories in God hates fags kind of message.
Mm-hmm.
But more particularly for those just your average common person, not known in the media, not famous, you're not hearing the brokenness and the pain. Obviously not sitting judging people, but you're not hearing, yeah, this is wrong, people are going to hell for the, and there doesn't seem to be the love of God or brokenness coming through.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. I know many people who just, you know, they weep. They have the
heart. Oh, no, I understand you.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
You're making a very important point.
It's just, yes, that I feel like I've seen words just recently. They say, burn the grand since they'll burn in hell. And there's no brokenness over it.
Right.
They know the wages of sin is death, but they don't put that together and realize a sinful world is dying and crying out for life. We cannot laugh at those drowning
Jacob,
while we hold a life preserver.
Yeah, I think it's really important. Obviously, everyone communicates differently.
Mm-hmm.
But if our hearts are really broken, that will come out in the things that we say, and people will know. I have a friend that's an evangelist that preached right in your face as loud and clear as possible, but everybody knew he really loved them and cared. Jacob, thanks for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, got one, almost open. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thanks so much for participating, calling in with your insights, your wisdom. 866-34-TRUTH. The question we've been asking is, what do we do when there's a conflict between standing up for what's right and concern about not wanting to offend someone that you're trying to reach with the gospel? Let's say that you've got two men living together next door, open homosexual. You know that they're really, really concerned about same-sex marriage issue because they, quote, want to be married, and your state doesn't recognize it. And you've been spending time reaching out to them, and now you put a sign on your front lawn, you know, to vote for marriage as male, female. Well, what if that puts them off, drives them away from the gospel? Is it more important to win them to the gospel, or is that just being compromised? So we're talking this issue through, and whoever calls in gets a free copy of my DVD debate with Professor Bart Ehrman on the Bible and the problem of suffering. By the way, if you can't call and get through, which many of you won't be able to, order it. It's at a special introductory price. that you'll be blessed with. So askdrbrown.org to go ahead and order. I'm going to get to as many calls as possible. Kyler in Blairsburg, Iowa, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I really think what you said earlier in the broadcast about being credible in the lives that we live and being living amongst people in love and in truth is what makes the difference, because if they don't see that witness, they're only going to see what the negative things that are portrayed, the harshness of people trying to witness to them. So I really believe that's the kicker.
So that's the key thing, building relationship and demonstrating the character of Jesus in our ongoing conduct. And got it. Hey, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it, and I hope the DVD is a blessing to you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right.
Bye.
Josh in Jacksonville, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I do agree. Our life as Christians are witnesses, as a witness in itself, but more importantly, confrontational witnessing, I think, is vital in society today. That is, you know, witnessing to a stranger, teaching about the truth. And the old cliche is true. The truth does hurt, but it's got to be told. One other thing I'd like to say about America as a whole is our freedom our own demise? I mean, all these choices that we're getting because of freedom and what we're bringing into America, is that going to ultimately destroy America?
Yeah, and, you know, Josh, just a quick response to that. Obviously, our country was built on principles of, quote, religious tolerance and diversity. The problem is not allowing other viewpoints. The problem is that our viewpoint as the dominant voice has been very weak. In other words, the tens of millions of believers in the country, we have not consistently, clearly spoken the truth, lived out the truth. Otherwise, you know, people from different faiths coming into America, to me, that's an opportunity to evangelize them. When our view is presented poorly and our lifestyle doesn't back it up, then the more other views people have, you know, the worse it is for us. So, yeah.
I agree totally. I mean, it makes you want, I don't want to question salvation, but sometimes, back in the,
if someone is really saved, I understand. That's why I wrote the book, How Saved Are We? To ask that very question.
And let me say one more thing, too, for people out there. Satan is not omniscient, omnipotent, or omnipresent. So keep that in mind when you're out there witnessing.
Got it. All right. Thanks, man. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. If you're trying to get through right now, would be a good time. Charles in Apex, North Carolina. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I kind of question the content of your question that you're asking your listeners, because you're supposing that we are actually trying to reach people for the gospel, and that may not be the case. In matter of fact, we may just be trying to win an argument.
And sometimes it's sadly true.
It's sadly true. When was the last time we had an international student from Iran, a Muslim student, to our home? When was the last time you had your gay coworkers or gay neighbors over for dinner? When was the last time you went out and listened to a music at an Indian cultural festival and made friends there? And are we being intentional to be present in the lives of people that we say we want to listen to, or do we just want to be confrontational, prove our point, say, yeah, we're right, they're going to hell, and feel smug about ourselves?
Right, or feel good about ourselves because we proved our point. Okay, so super quick answer, because we're up against a break. If you do hang out with these people, will it cause you to compromise your views? Will you now back away from the confrontational issues, or will you just do it differently?
My own experience, I've done what I've asked you, and I've had friends over who are Muslim. I've had coworkers over who were a gay couple, and got to speak with them, and they were glad to actually speak to somebody in a non-confrontational way about why I believe the way I believe, you know. And
got
as a matter of fact, brought Muslims to church with me. My gay friend said, if we went to your church, would your church treat us like you do? I had to say, I don't know the answer to that question.
All right. Thank you for the answer, and thank you for the exhortation. God bless you. Hey, we come back. I was going to say remind me. You won't be able to remind me. I've got quite a telling illustration for you. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Hey, if you think of it, just pray for me today and tomorrow. as fly to Phoenix tonight and then join Dr. James White. Yes, the same Dr. James White that I had the joy of debating on Calvinism on my broadcast and on his. We'll be teaming together debating God's triunity and the deity of Jesus before a live TV audience on the Jewish Voice broadcast, and then that should be airing subsequently. Okay, let me grab one more call, and then I'm going to give you my official position. Carol in Raleigh, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm just doing great. Thanks.
I'm so glad you brought up this topic, because I was having a conversation the other day with a fellow believer, and we were talking about witnessing to homosexuals. And I pointed out the fact that I believe that we should tell them or somehow point out that what they're doing is a sin. And my friend immediately became offended, and she said, "Please tell me you're never going to do that. That's Satan. Satan is making you do that."
Wow.
And I was like, well, gosh, I've never thought
I wonder
if
Satan
way.
Inspired the biblical authors to say the same thing, huh? Wow.
So, I mean, she became very upset that the fact that I would even think about doing that. And I just feel like we are obligated to tell people the truth.
Yeah, whatever the subject is, love compels us to speak the truth. Hey, Carol, I'm going to run so I can weigh in with some of my own views, but thanks for sharing that. I think our listeners needed to hear it. Look, when I'm sharing the gospel with someone, I'm looking for where they're at and how the Lord seems to be leading me, or how far I can go in a relationship or a situation. And in some cases, you know, there may be a couple heterosexuals that are clearly in sin. They're not married and they're living together, and that may not be something that comes up immediately. Or this person may be a heavy drinker, and that may not be something that comes up immediately. Or a guy may be, you know, really screaming, yelling, mean to his kids, and I may be sharing the gospel with him, and that may not come up immediately. Or someone that's engaging in homosexual sin, that may not come up immediately. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit is going to convict people of sin, and ultimately, I have to be a representative and speak the truth on issues that are of importance in our society, family, individuals. So I want to lay out a few things. One is, whatever we do, let's do it in the spirit of Jesus, meaning not yelling, screaming, losing our tempers, and not making apologies and, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I have to tell you." No. Speaking the truth in love. That's the exhortation to us in Ephesians 4, that we speak the truth in love, that we model the character of Jesus, in whom grace and truth are merged together. So the word I received in terms of dealing with homosexual issues is reach out, resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. That's what we set aside to do. I had a long talk with an open homosexual man flying to Rome a few weeks ago, and he said someone that held to my views, I asked him point blank, would that person be branded a homophobe? He said, absolutely. And I said, would you brand me a homophobe? He goes, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because I've heard your heart. It should be. And I was preaching at Fire at our home congregation yesterday, and I said, folks, prepare for it. God begins to open doors in the homosexual community. You know, you're going to have a man walking in here that says it's a cross-dresser, claims to be transgender. He's going to walk in here wearing a dress, carrying a Bible. And he may sit right down next to your family. We need to embrace these people, show them the love of God, and work with them to bring them to repentance and faith. I believe it's both and, but done in the Spirit of God, love and truth merging together. And then we have to major on what God calls us to major on. Some will be called to more public stands, others to more evangelistic stands, but the two are obviously supposed to fit together like a hand and a glove. Hey, be blessed, and go to the website, order a copy of the Bart Ehrman, Mike Brown DVD.